What if your trash could sort itself? Locally and across the country, recycling is getting a high-tech upgrade. From AI-powered robots sorting bottles and cans to services that give your old batteries and plastic wrap a second life, this isn't your grandparents' recycling bin or even your parents'. Today, we're exploring the cutting edge of waste innovation. We start with Republic Services and their brand new state-of-the-art facility, one of the most advanced recycling plants in the country. Then we'll check in with Everest Labs, where artificial intelligence is changing the game in real time, improving speed and accuracy on the sorting line. And finally, we'll meet Ridwell, a company helping households recycle the hard stuff, the things most cities don't even try to collect. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. About 6 years ago, we took on the subject of recycling on this show. It was confusing then, and it's a bit confusing now. But we are taking a look at what has changed and see if we can bring a little clarity to it. Just a few months ago, Republic Services reopened their recycling plant in Anaheim. That was a milestone, not just for Republic Services, but for the future of sustainable waste management. Joining us now from Republic Systems, the operation manager, Pierre Feeney, and he's here to talk a little bit about the new state-of-the-art facility that you've got down there, how it helps to build a cleaner future. And first of all, I guess most people don't think about rubbish beyond throwing it in the bin, and so why don't you lighten us up a little bit?
Good afternoon, Hal. I'm glad to be on. A few years ago, back in 22, we had a fire in this plant, and then it forced us to get a rebuild. And going through the rebuild, we leveraged the technology, and it gave us the opportunity, first off, to go from a 50-ton-an-hour system to a 100-ton-an-hour system through three different lines, enhance our capability to run through more recycle and do more recovery. We had six optical sorters in the old system. And with this new system that we built, there's 15 total opticals that were implemented to provide better technology and recovery. And also seven of those are Max AI Viz, which are visual identification systems. And they work hand in hand with optical sorters. They're real life imaging. They pick up material as it's going through, and then they either work with the optical or force the opticals to recover, inhibiting contamination or ejecting for more material recovery.
So this plant is so much better because it's more high tech.
Absolutely, we are trying to leverage the technology to recover material that would wind up otherwise into the landfills. There's a 2D on plastic containers. The old system that we have the ability to run with this system and take it away from the landfills.
All right, well, Pierre, I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions here. It's like a pop quiz, okay? That's trash. You recognize it, right? It's
yes.
Got a cap and it's got a bottle.
Yes.
If the cap is not on the bottle, is it still recyclable? Or if the cap is on a bottle, is it recyclable? Well, what has to happen here with this bottle?
Preferably, it's recyclable. To answer the question, yes. But preferably, let's put the cap back on. Let's make sure that the material is emptied out dry. It gives us the better opportunity to recover through the system. It leaves the material as 3D. Although we have the ability to recover 2D, which are crushed bottles, through the system with this new system. Instead of that winding up into the landfill.
So it's okay, you wash it out, it's okay to leave a cap on it and throw it away.
Absolutely, that's what we want to see. We want to see nice 3D material go through.
Let's talk about this one. This is a lid to a plastic container. This was a salmon bowl, and this is paper on here. So, recyclable?
Yes, sir. The system will take care of most of that. That will go through the system and it can be captured.
I see. So the main thing is that there is a consideration for what goes in the recycling can.
Yes, you don't want the wet material. The optical sorters do a great job identifying the material, but the weight of the material, the containers, if they're weighted down with water, with the air systems that's provided and the technology, it's not able to shoot that or eject on that for recovery. And that has a good chance of winding up at the landfill. So we recommend empty bottles, nice 3D lid on.
All right, let's talk about glass for a second. This is plastic, right? Plastic.
Yes.
Now,
Yes. Here's
the question. Made noise. Some people might wonder what kind of glass jars are okay to throw into recyclable.
All glass jars, all colors. Any glass bottles, glass jars. You know, your wine bottles, your food beverage bottles, your soda bottles. They're all good to go. Even the glass jars for your jams and sauces. Those are all good recyclable material.
All right. So a lot of us have things like this from getting packages in the mail, right? And so
yes,
is this stuff okay?
It can be recyclable, but we do not recommend putting that in the curbside program. No, there's a lot of opportunities for that to be collected at supermarkets. They have special containers there that isolate the plastics. You want to keep the film and the plastic as much as possible away from the stream.
What about cardboard? All good?
Cardboard, absolutely. We recommend breaking it down. If there's tape on it, that's okay. The system will take care of that.
So you break it down, the system will handle, and I'm going to put my hand over the address here, but what about an envelope like this? It has plastic over it for the window. Is it okay, or do you have to pull the plastic off of it? Or
That is okay. That is recyclable. We can take that.
So really, a lot of the stuff that we think of as being recyclable, like a lid, a plastic lid, it's common sense, right?
Right.
And so
absolutely.
If people have questions about whether this kind of bag is okay, or what else do I have in my goodie bag here, or this is okay, can they go to your website?
You know, it, one of the things that we recommend for all the communities, just encourage the consumers to check in with their local providers of what we, take into our streams. And that there's a lot of education out there that can help us start there and then give us a better opportunity to capture the recycle and keep it away from landfills.
All right. Interesting. Thanks so much, Pierre. Pierre Feeney, thanks for joining us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we hear a lot about the AI stuff these days. But have you ever thought about whether it could sort through your trash? We take a look at the move from human power to robot power right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. It's probably no surprise that waste management jobs aren't the top of many employment lists. It is by definition a dirty job, and sorting material by hand as it whips past on conveyor belts is physically and can be mentally challenging as well. That's where Everest Labs comes in. The recycling industry faces a high degree of staff turnover while constantly updating regulations urge faster and more accurate work. So one solution is to put AI to work. And joining us right now is Everest Labs head of product, Apurbo Pradhan. And it's so good to see you. And thank you so much for joining us. And boy, we sure hear a lot about AI. How is Everest using AI?
Nice to be here, and thanks for having us. We use AI primarily to digitize the recycling stream. And what I mean by that is, as recycling materials are collected from homes and businesses, it ends up somewhere and typically ends up in a facility like the one that you're looking at on conveyor belts. Oftentimes, these conveyor belts are carrying variety of recyclable materials along with materials that are not recyclable. And what we do is we employ AI to identify the materials on the stream and categorize them so that the recovery facilities have all the data they need to know how to run their facility. So essentially, we're digitizing what's on these conveyor belts so that we can automate the sorting processes and the collection processes downstream of it. And that has an effect of increasing efficiency of collecting these materials.
Well, let's talk a little bit about missed recyclables. Millions of recyclable items like aluminum cans and PET plastics and packaging are sent mistakenly to landfills each year. What kind of problem does that create?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a huge opportunity. You know, I think the general public is aware that recycling can be more efficient, as not as efficient as they would it needs to be, but they don't really know where the problems are. So there's sort of two areas. One area is in the collection, when sort of educating the public and recycling the material. The other area is in once the materials are sent to these recycling facilities to collect, to efficiently collect these and sort these and send it down to for processing to be made into virgin material again. You know, we've already done a really hard job of collecting these materials. So what we try to do is make, once the materials are collected, to make that sorting process more efficient. The inefficiencies in these sorting processes will lead these facilities to landfill a lot of what's actually recoverable. And so this is where, this is the problem that Everest Labs is using AI and robotics to solve.
We know that AI is one of those things. You know that emoji where the head's exploding? That's what AI does to me. And so as I try to understand it, I'm that little exploding emoji thing. How exactly does AI function in a company like yours? What exactly does it do? I mean, obviously it's smart, it's artificial intelligence. Is it programmed to take this thing that doesn't look so good, move it over here, and this thing that looks good, push it forward?
Yeah, so the AI, there's lots of different types of AI. We use what's called a large vision model. So we're using cameras, and sometimes cameras augmented with spectral scanners. So these are the eyes for the AI. So we're looking at material on the belt, and then we're applying AI models to be able to determine what those materials are, its type of material, what it's made of. So things like aluminum, PET, HDPE, polypropylene, glass, tin, all of these different materials are recycled differently. So we need to identify what they are. The second thing we're looking at is packaging type, whether it's bottle or some kind of a food grade container or a laundry detergent, you know, all of these different recycling materials. Based on that information, we deem the value of recycling that and how to recover that. And so that information then is sent to our robotics arms. We have robotics installed in these conveyor system that then sort them how it needs to be sorted. Sometimes you're doing a positive sort, which means you're picking out material from these lines that are valuable and placing them into different streams. Or sometimes you're doing negative sorting, which is you're cleaning up that stream. You're taking out contaminants from that stream, and so that that stream can be cleaner. And these are jobs that are typically manually performed in these facilities. And so automating them has an effect of increasing the reliability, increasing the performance, and increasing the throughput, which essentially helps you recover more and recycle more cleanly.
But I'm glad you brought up the word automation and the word jobs, because we know that when there's automation, that can be a loss of jobs. So what is the impact to the workforce from things like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you kind of have to look at the type of job, right? So, you know, the type of work that we're talking about, which is manual sorting in recycling facilities, with just a waste processing facility, these are jobs that are really hard to fill. You know, recycling companies that have a hard time hiring people and then retaining people to work in these facilities, a lot of turnover. So there's new training required. And these are not, you know, quite frankly, well-paying jobs. So these are sort of, you know, jobs that automation can do really well and help the recycling companies upskill their labor force so that they can go on and do higher value jobs in the same facility versus sitting there on a conveyor belt wading through trash and picking out recyclables.
Okay, we've got about a minute left. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, you can learn more about our company, Everest Labs, everestlabs.ai. What we do is, you know, what we're looking forward to is the future where all of the recycling streams are digitized so that we can apply automation to recover better, so that we can provide that data to policymakers for them to understand how recycling is working and not working and where to put funding to make recycling processes better. We'd provide that data to packaging companies and brands so that they can understand how to make their packaging more sustainable, where their packaging is ending up in the recycling value chain, whether it's being recovered or not. All of that information is really at the heart of making the recycling process modernized as well as more efficient. And that's the future that we look forward to.
Apurva Pradhan, thank you so much for joining us, explaining some of that to us. It's certainly a changing world all around us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, as much as we'd like to believe that everything we toss in the recycle bin actually gets recycled, it's just not true. So what happens to those ever-present pieces of trash that really should be recycled? Well, there's a new answer to that question and a service that may be coming to your town. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. Our modern lives are filled with disposables, shipping bags and chip bags and bubble wrap and snack wrappers. These things are made of hard to recycle plastic, and less than 1% of it actually gets recycled. But one company is changing that, making it easy to give new life to hard to recycle items right from your doorstep. It's called Ridwell, and it might just change the way you think about waste. Let's welcome Taylor Lowen. She's the regional director for Ridwell. And Taylor, thanks for being with us. Tell us what Ridwell is, how it started, and tell us where it is in Los Angeles.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. So Ridwell is a certified B Corporation and social purpose organization that empowers communities to waste less through small actions add up to a big impact for the planet. So we offer convenient doorstep pickup service for items not accepted by traditional curbside recycling programs, and then partner with over 200 local and national businesses and nonprofits for responsible reuse and recycling. And really, you know, we got started because there's a dad and his son, our CEO, Ryan Metzger, and his son, just trying to get stuff out of their house and responsibly recycle it. They found a place for batteries, for example, and he would ask his neighbors, does anybody else have batteries that need to get recycled? Like most American households, most people have like a cache of batteries sitting in their garage. And so got a big response and started doing that with more categories, creating kind of a carpool service in that area. Based on the passion of those members, the 60 members that started out in Seattle back in 2018, launched into a business idea. And now we have 120,000 members across 7 states. And we've diverted over 30 million pounds in the landfill. In the LA area, we're everywhere from Redondo Beach down to San Fernando Valley and have about 5,000 members currently in the area.
And I suspect there's a website or something where people can get the information if they want to do that. And we'll get that at the end. But you mentioned things like shipping bags. And then there are things like this cheese bag. And this has a Ziploc feature to it. Things that may not be accepted by your local recycler. If so, why not, and why do you accept them?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think that those are materials that are really hard to avoid, that plastic film. And a lot of municipal recyclers, the plastic films jam up their equipment and can cause really expensive repairs. And it's a challenging item to do curbside when you have commingled recycling. At Ridwell, our members sort those items into individual cloth bags. They have a metal bin on their porch. They've got a set of cloth bags. And so one bag has all their plastic film. One bag has all their multi-layered plastic. And we're able to get them to North American recyclers. Trex is our partner for that stretchy, flexible plastic film. And that's ground up with wood chips and made it a composite lumber. Things like decking and playgrounds, that multi-layered plastic, things like the Ziploc bags, things like chip bags, dog food bags, bags you buy like mulch or planter material, and goes to companies that grind that up and then turn it. It's used instead of virgin resin when it comes to making new material like pipes or potter plants.
As we've seen delivery services like Amazon flourish do more and more business in our neighborhoods, I'm gathering more and more of these things have popped up and become more and more of a problem. What is the problem these create? And so is that causing your business to increase?
Sure. You know, I think that There's absolutely, I think through COVID, as people started ordering things remotely and through convenience, there's absolutely an uptick in that type of material. And, you know, RIDWALL is one part of the solution. Really, as a country, we need to reduce our single-use plastics. We need to be able to think about what material we're using. But for material you just can't avoid having in your household, that's where RIDWALL comes in, is having an outlet, a place where members can send that material in, get it to recyclers, and then give that plastic a new life.
What are some of the unique or more popular categories your team tends to pick up?
Yeah, so I mean, definitely the plastics are extremely popular, but we collect everything from clothing materials, light bulbs, batteries, and then we have a rotation of featured categories that are very popular. Everything from wine corks, bread tags, to reuse categories that go to local nonprofits. So used children's books, old eyeglasses frames. During the LA fires in January, we collected non-perishable food items that went to Westside Food Bank locally.
Does this take some re-education on all of our part to understand all these things that are in our homes that may not have been in our homes a few years ago when we sort of started this notion of recycling?
You know, I think recycling can be so confusing despite the best intent people have. And it varies based off the jurisdiction you live in, and then also continues to change. And so, you know, I think that there is a bit of a re-education. We at RIDWALL, you know, we really focus on transparency and putting trust into the recycling industry, because there is some mistrust sometimes of what happens to your material. So we always we rate and measure how much of our material is recycled versus not. 97% of this material collect is recycled. And then we post on a transparency page on our website that 3%. What are the items that are problematic that people are giving us, so that people can continue to learn and change their habits and what they give us from at home as well?
Okay, we're just about out of time. So, question is, what's your website? Where do people get more information if they want to? How do they sign up?
So, RIDWALL.com, and you can put your zip code into our website, and then it will tell you if we provide service in your area and the materials that we collect for your area as well.
Well, I was hoping there's more in here because I wanted to talk to you some more, but it looks like I'm out of trash and I'm out of time. Taylor, thanks so much. Good to talk to you. Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget my podcast. It's called What the Hal? And it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. Thanks for that. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time, everybody.